All right, our study in Ezekiel, we're in chapter 4, and you have your outline there that we've given you that we'll be using in that, as well as what we'll have here on the PowerPoint and the screen in this. Now, in Ezekiel, we started out with the chapters 1 through 3. Ezekiel had quite an experience with God. And something that just really blew his mind, and he still has a time getting around that. And now he is commissioned by God to preach to the captives that's in Babylon. And he's been taken captive. The nation of Israel under King David and King Solomon was doing fine, but they didn't obey God like they should. And the people weren't obeying God. God warned them, said, if you don't obey me and do what I want you to do, I'll take you out of the land. I'll scatter you among the nations. The land will become desolate. You can't even give the land away. It'll be so horrible. They won't like, well, they didn't obey God. The nation was divided into two nations. The 10 northern tribes became known as Israel. The 2 southern tribes as Judah. And the 10 northern tribes were taken captive by the Assyrians. Then later, the 2 southern tribes were taken captive by the Babylonian Empire. And that's where we're at. Now, we just got through with the book of Daniel. And Daniel was one of those that was taken captive from the tribe of Judah. And we saw as God dealt with Daniel and the prophecies dealing with that Israel would be restored. God would keep his promise to Abraham that Israel would be the ruling nation of the world. And his promise to David that he would have an heir that would reign on his throne, which would be the Son of God, and that would come and would be in the future. Well, now Ezekiel was taken to captivity about the same time. Ezekiel now has a different task than what Daniel had. Daniel rose to great prominence in the nation of Babylonian Empire, was used greatly and had great influence throughout that. And God spoke to him and gave prophecies. Ezekiel, being a priest, wasn't quite that prominent in the situation. And God deals with Ezekiel. And now he's going to, from chapter 4 to about chapter 10, we're going to see where God explains what's happened to Israel. Why is Israel in captivity? Why is Judah in captivity? Why are these things happening? Because of their sins. And what's happening is what God is doing and using other nations to do it. So in verse 1, the first message that Ezekiel was to deliver, and God warned Ezekiel. He said, now when you speak, you tell them, thus saith the Lord God. It's not your ideas. It's not your words. What you'll tell the people is what I told you to tell them. He told them, he said, now when you go to talk to them, they're going to be rebellious. Said, your tongue's going to cleave to the top of your mouth. You're not going to be able to talk unless I free you up. And so Ezekiel was learning the lesson. I better obey God. And what I'm going to say needs to be what God wants me to say. So now the first message that Ezekiel was to deliver in verse 1, thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. Now a tile was a piece of clay that was made into like a brick, and it could be thick, thin, or whatever. We've excavated, there's been excavations done in Jerusalem and all throughout Israel and other parts of the world. And they've excavated tile, floor tiles that's got beautiful pictures on them. On the wall, tiles on the wall that's involved in that. Well, Ezekiel was to take a tile, and he was to carve on it the blueprint or the floor plan of Jerusalem. And then he might have made a display of 3D dimensions of the walls and the buildings in Jerusalem of the temple. This was very important to the Jews and very holy to them. Now, down from the very beginning, I've had people complain to me about using visual aids. Still today, they complain about visual aids. Just talk to me. We don't need visual aids. Well, the problem with visual aids is a picture is worth 1,000 words. So I know I'm getting my words, but I'll tell you, I'll give you about 20,000 words before it's over with through pictures and the visual aids on that. Well, Ezekiel was to use visual aids in preaching. He was to, now this was going to be telling them about what's going to happen to Jerusalem, and it would be done not by him speaking, but by the visual aids that he would use in this. And so he was to build this tile that was there. So question number one, the first message Ezekiel was to deliver was that Jerusalem would be shut up by an enemy. In other words, be seized by an enemy. They would enclose around it. And so we find that Jerusalem. And so this is talking about Jerusalem and later on the temple that is there. Now in verse 2, he said, lay siege against it and build a fort against it and cast a mount against it and set the camp also against it and set battering rams against it round about. So in this illustration that he's going to have in this visual aid, on this tile, he'd have Jerusalem, and then he would build a fort, a miniature fort. Then he would build miniature ramps that would come up and where the enemy could go over the walls around Jerusalem. And then he would have a camp of the enemy would be camped around Jerusalem. And then he would have battering rams. All of that was in miniature, showing that what can happen to Jerusalem, this holy city of God, that it could be taken on this. And so question two, this message would be illustrated by engraving an image of Jerusalem on a tile and building a miniature fort and a mount against it. And he was to set a camp against it. The enemy would be demonstrated around this. And then he'd have battering rams, where they would knock down the huge gates that other enemies couldn't get through on that. And so the enemy would be around this. Now, this was quite an illustration there, quite a visual aid that he would have. And people would have to hurry to get by to see it. No, no. Some of them didn't want to see it, didn't want to pay attention to it. It was going to be out there for a long time. In verse 3, he said, moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Now, this illustration, this message of all that Ezekiel is to do, this tile and all that's there is to be a sign against the house or to the house of Israel. Why are they in captivity? Is it because God is weak and these other nations can overcome him and take Jerusalem and all? No. It's because of their sin. But as he does this, and he's to lay, and we'll read this in a moment on that, as he was laid down there, he was to take an iron pan and put it between his face and that tile so that he couldn't see Jerusalem. Well, that was kind of unusual. The whole thing is unusual as far as that goes. They thought he was crazy, had become insane on this thing. Well, we find question three, Ezekiel was to put an iron pan between him and the city. Now, God explains part of this was there, and we find that other scriptures tells us about this. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, God says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. In verse 1, he talks about, says, God's arm is not shortened that he cannot save. He's not deaf that he cannot hear. God can still commit, can perform miracles, and does perform miracles. But why doesn't he do a whole lot of it? Because our iniquities, our sins, have separated us from God, and where it's hit his face, and he doesn't see us or won't hear us. Not that he doesn't want to see. Oh, he wants to. But he will not see us when we allow our sins to go unrepented. He gives us an opportunity to repent of our sins. And when we repent of our sins, then he sees and hears and answers our prayers. Have you ever prayed and thought your prayers didn't get above the ceiling? You ever wondered why? Take a look at your sins, your life. You probably got an unconfessed sin hanging around, and that will separate that. And so this is what he was illustrating with this iron pan, was showing that their sins was keeping God from sparing Jerusalem and what was going on and what would go on in Jerusalem. So question four, the iron pan represented their iniquities, their sin. They kept God from seeing and hearing them. Not that God couldn't do it, but no, their sin. We've got a lot of blessings that God wants to bless us with, but he doesn't because of our sins. If we would repent, we'd have more blessings than what we've already have on that. Now in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now the iniquity, the sins of Jerusalem, the sins of Israel and Judah was to be laid on Ezekiel. It was to lay down, the sins would be laid upon him, teaching that our sins would be laid upon Jesus. Man, what a blessing. Question five, six is, Jesus would hear or would bear our sins. I forgot we've left out a question in this. Let me back up on here. Let me go back up here to question four. Three. Now, question four, you have it on your outline there. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 4, down at the bottom of the page. Lie thou also upon the left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. So God tells Ezekiel to lie on his left side. Now, I had to really look at this picture. I had time to determine, is that his left side or his right side laying there? Well, I finally got it right. It's his left side. I had to lay down and make sure I was on the right side on that. And he was to lie on his left side for a number of days, showing that the iniquities of Israel, not Judah, would be on there. And so question five on your outline, Ezekiel was to lie on his left side to bear the iniquities of Israel. All right, then we answered question four. Let me get on up here. Now we're at question six. Jesus would bear iniquities. Now in Ezekiel 4:5, if I can keep this computer from making mistakes, we wouldn't have this problem. But Ezekiel 4:5, for I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. He was to lay like this for 390 days. People who didn't want to see that. Do you see what Ezekiel's doing? I don't want to see that. Well, they would. Sometime or another, they'd have to go by Ezekiel and see this and see what was there. And so we find out he was to lay 390 days representing then the matter of the sins of Israel. Now, in verse 6, and when thou hast accomplished them, after that 390 days, you're to lie again on your right side. And thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I appointed thee each day for a year. And so now he lays on his right side and for 40 days. Well, question 7, Ezekiel was to lay on his left side 390 days for the iniquity of Israel, and on his right side for 40 days for the iniquity of Israel. That would be how many days? 430 days, this demonstration would be there. This visual aid would be before the people. And this is just the beginning of the visual aid we're getting into on this thing. Now, verse 6, when thou hast accomplished, well, we read that one ago. Now, each day represents a year. So question 8, each day represents one
year.
So this judgment would go on for 430 years with this. Well, 430 years. Now, in verse 7, said, therefore, thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thy arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. Verse 8, behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. And so he would be tied down so that he couldn't move. After a while, he said, well, they've seen enough of this. No, he's going to be there all this length of time. That's over a year that this is going on. He's preaching this same sermon for over a year by using visual aids. I mean, first me using, when we started out with Planograph. Then we got the computers and PowerPoint. And I had the projectors. And man, it got hot up here with those projectors going on this thing. There we got these where we can do this on the monitors on that. Let God speak to you. So much said in that, and learn what is there. So question 9, Ezekiel would be bound for a total of 430 days, representing 430 years. Well, what does all this mean? And well, the Bible uses the 430 years a couple of times in that. Exodus 12:40. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. They were in bondage and slavery 430 years. Did God do away with them? No. He brought them out of Egypt, made them a great nation, brought them into the land that he promised them. So because the siege is a long time, it could be 430 years or 1,430 years or 2,000 years. God will keep his promise. Just because it's delayed doesn't mean he's not going to keep his promise. I thought about old Zechariah. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they lived in Jerusalem. He was a priest in the temple. He and his wife, when they got married, they prayed to God, said, give us a child. No answer. Just when God doesn't answer your prayer, doesn't mean that he knows how to say no. Now remember that. God knows how to say no. When he doesn't say anything, that doesn't mean your prayer's not going to be answered. After they were old, Elizabeth was nicknamed barren because she said, I prayed to God, God's going to give me a child. And no child came. She couldn't get pregnant. Then he's in the temple taking care of the oil and the candlesticks and the table of showbread, and a man shows up in there. He's not supposed to be in it. It was an angel named Gabriel. Gabriel said, your prayers are answered. What prayer? One he prayed when he's a young man. Now your prayers are answered, and y'all gonna have a child. Old Zechariah, you remember, he said, hey, we're too old. We can't do that. We're past childhood. Now, you don't want to argue with an angel. It made Gabriel mad. You know what Gabriel did? He made him dumb where he couldn't speak until a child was born. He named him John. See? Do not make God mad. Israel is in trouble and in bondage and would be for thousands of years because they wouldn't obey God. And if that happened to Israel, what do you think is going to happen to us when we're not doing what God wants us to do as a church? And that happened over many generations to be involved with this. So there's a lot to learn from this thing now. But God keeps his promise. Now, Galatians 3:17. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, that's the promise to Abraham that he'd have a great nation in the real world. That was confirmed in Christ, that he's the son of Abraham, the son of David. the law, which was 430 years, there's that 430 years. The law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Nothing can change the promise of God. Praise God for that. Okay. And so this is one lesson we learned from Ezekiel in this. And this is what Ezekiel was telling the people. God's going to keep his promise. Right now, your iniquities have hid God's face from you, and you're in captivity. And Jerusalem will be destroyed. And the temple will be destroyed. But it will be rebuilt. And the later part of Ezekiel, when we get in the latter part of Ezekiel, we'll see where God shows how that they will be delivered and what will happen in them. Right now, in these next few chapters, we're going to see God's judgment upon Israel because of their sins. We got a lot of churches today that are miserable. I mean, the most happy place you ought to be in should be in a church. And if any place on the face of this earth you ought to have love, it ought to be in the churches. Amen. We've got churches that are mad at one another. I tell you, I pastored a church. We had center aisle, pews on each side, two women. One came in and sat on this side. The other one came in and sat on that side. They never looked at one another. After I was there a few months and a few years, I began to notice that. I asked somebody, what's the matter with these two women? Why aren't they? They don't even talk to one another. I said, they're sisters. I said, sisters? Oh, they got in an argument some years ago and haven't spoke to one another. How many people are not speaking to others in the church because you won't forgive them? Oh, do you realize what they've done to me? You realize what they've said? Doesn't make any difference. Jesus died for them. And God forgives us because of what Jesus did. We're to forgive others because of what Jesus did. Right. But in our churches, we got people miserable. We got churches that are powerless. All we got is just some religious talk. No conviction, no power like we used to have. What's happened? Our iniquities. See, we have a form of godliness, but we denied the power thereof. You better perk up and listen and see it. So through the book of Ezekiel, we're going to see some things happen there that is happening today. And if they would have repented of their sins, things would have been different. And that's why we had revival. We used to have revivals. A man, our church would be on fire. We'd have at least two revivals, sometimes three or four. Now we don't even have a one-day revival. That's a joke.
That's right.
That's what we had here last time, one day.
We thought we had a revival. We didn't have a revival. Man, we need to come back to the Word of God. See? Well, I've got to preach. I got to teach instead of preaching. We're going to get into it. We've got a lot more to go. So, here we find Ezekiel beginning this message with a visual aid and teaching what is there and bringing to remembrance of the Jews why this is happening because of what God is doing. And so next week we're going to go further. Now, this is not all the visual aid. There's some more that he's got to do here that we're going to see about. So you want to read this fourth chapter over and over again. And so your lessons are for the days to come is to read every chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Let me just encourage you to read the entire book. Don't try to understand. Just read it all the way through. And when you get through, read it again. When you get through, read it again. And read it again. It won't take you very long to read through it. Get familiar with the words. And then let God begin to speak to you as we go through that word. All right. We're going to take time for questions at this.